Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, episode 4, season 3. It's Monster Hunter week, baby.
Yes.
I am Jake. With me is Mike.
What is up, everybody? And joining us, as always, is Ben.
Yo, yo.
Yes, it is Monster Hunter week. We are mere hours away from Monster Hunter. And we'll
this
probably
came quicker than I expected from
I know.
When it was announced.
It felt like yeah.
6 to 8 months ago?
Yeah, and then it was like, oh, it's a couple months away. And it's like, oh, shit. It's like
there's been three betas we're we didn't only expected one. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was basically the same one.
Well,
just multiple
every beta you
some
played, you get more in-game loot. So well, if you didn't play all of the betas, you don't get all the I mean, oh. Same. I didn't play the other ones either, but I'm just saying. Enough.
But yes, that will be the game that most likely dominates all of our video game talk next week. However,
we're not
there yet. So this week, let's talk about some games that we played. I played through the story of Tekken 7. That story's nuts. I don't really remember the last few Tekken stories because, I mean, it's a fighting game story. And to be honest, like up until like this generation, for the most part, fighting game stories were kind of bad. It was like once NetherRealm started like giving a shit and showing that you could actually make a really good fighting game story and everyone else kind of followed suit, they started to get good for the first time ever. So, yeah, this one is in the same vein as all these other modern fighting game stories. It's great in the fact that it's so wild and ridiculous and entertaining. And, yeah, I can't really get into details without spoiling a bunch of stuff. If you're not a fan of playing fighting games, you could easily just go watch. People have made all the cutscenes into one nice long YouTube video. It's probably only like an hour and a half long, but you should still watch it because, man, one thing I learned, I think in the Tekken universe, anytime you think someone's dead, they're not. No one ever dies in these games ever. Oh, you had a grenade thrown at your feet and the entire building explodes. Yeah, you're dead. You're not dead. You're fine. You walk it off, no problem. We'll see you in the next
shrapnel.
Game. Also,
went all around him, missed him completely.
Yeah. Also, there was a scene where one person was speaking English, one person was speaking Japanese, one person was speaking Spanish. Everyone understood everybody. No problems. Didn't miss a beat. So apparently everyone speaks multiple languages in the Tekken universe as
that's
well.
That's how it should be. We should all be able to speak each other's languages.
Sure. I mean, yeah, if you want to go that way. Yeah, fine. No problem with that. The story mode didn't have a lot of fighting in it, surprisingly. It was very cutscene driven. I'd say if there was 90 minutes to 2 hours of cutscenes, there was maybe 20 to 30 minutes of actual fighting. And not counting like the final boss who was, that's one thing I would say. Whoever's making these final bosses in fighting games like impossibly hard, you need to realize these aren't arcade games anymore. You don't need to suck quarters out of me. These final bosses don't have to be cheap bullshit with a bunch of tactics that no other player could ever pull off, and it feels like I'm fighting a computer that can read all of my inputs and knows how to counter every single move I have. It gets really annoying. I wish fighting games would stop doing that, because I was motherfucking my TV up and down for the better part of a half hour.
That's what fighting games are, though.
I know, but it's like the final boss is like, oh, the final boss, you can't, like, stagger him on any of his moves. And he has all these moves that take, like, half your health in one hit. So it's just like, this isn't a fair fight. It's just annoying. And you're just going to make me have to turn down the difficulty to win this battle because you're pissing me off because I can't beat you because you're a cheap final boss. Anyways, rant over. But it was still a good story. Final boss aside. And, yeah, I'm surprisingly really loving Tekken 7 a lot. I still have yet to play online, but just between the story and the treasure battle mode, I am having a freaking blast with this game, especially with all the customization, too. It's basically, like, you can customize pretty much any character and give them all these wacky and wild outfits that they unlock, and playing treasure battle unlocks loot, essentially, for customizing your character. And you can, it's like, hey, here's Yoshimitsu, and I want to put a Jenga tower on his head and put him in a Bullet Club t-shirt and some jorts. I can do that, because this is Tekken 7, and apparently everything is just free reign. All the rules out the window. Anything you think you knew about a character, nope. Throwing it all out there. So, yeah, if you're a fan of Tekken games, 7 seems to be probably one of the best, as far as, like, mechanics, too, because it plays beautifully. and it makes me kind of wish I had a arcade stick, because man, it is really hard to play fighting games on a D-pad, because that makes you realize how bad D-pads are for fighting games. They are not friendly in the slightest.
But, yeah, your thumbs really start to go after a little while. I'm the same way.
Gotta build some calluses.
Always D-pad over. It's always D-pad over control stick, especially when I'm using playing fighting games. I played Injustice the same way with the D-pad.
Yeah, you can't play with like the analog stick. No way.
You'll just snap it in half if you do. So it's not going
to
work.
Not to mention, just like we'll just read a bunch of other directions you didn't intend to.
That too.
Do
right. Yeah. That's true too. Yeah, D-pads, I learned that with Injustice and my time play. That shit hurts. You can only play that for a certain amount of time before taking a break.
Understandable. But other than Tekken, a lot of Fortnite, Battle Royale, I am totally down that rabbit hole of addictedness. That is so much friggin' fun. Now I understand, like, the Battlegrounds addiction that most people have on PC. Obviously, you know, not a one-to-one copy of the, you know, game, but the same, like, gameplay loop is there, so I totally understand, and I'm probably going to end up throwing some money at this game, getting that Battle Pass, because I've already put, I think, probably 20 hours into
Battle
Royale.
Yeah, I don't know, can we even look at that?
You guys have been playing that for three weeks now.
If you look at your profile, it breaks up your time played by solos, duos, and squads, so you can just kind of add those three up.
Okay.
And I think I'm around like 20 hours. And yeah, Jake, you guys have been playing that a lot. You need to get on this. We're always playing with three people
on the sale?
With a spot open. No, it's free. Yeah. Battle Royale's free.
Kyle jumped in.
Oh, I have
night.
The Battle Royale. Yeah. I did. Oh no, I have keep that downloaded. Up. I've just been. I've been trying to get rid of my backlog, but I do have it. I do have it downloaded, and I am ready to play. The problem with me is you guys will be carrying me, because I played it when it first came out, and now I forgot about all the building and all that bullshit. So
please, you're fine.
Yeah, no, I'm always down. Just let me know when you guys have open spot. I'll
be
down to play. Those games are fun.
After we record this podcast, we will be playing.
We'll probably jump in.
And we'll have a spot open, so you should absolutely join us. But yeah.
I'm on a very important part of Yakuza, so we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, Yakuza's still going to be there when you're done. You're not even done. You're close to being done with Yakuza yet, so you got a long way to go.
But it's
Yakuza. Two more days of Fortnite.
It's
so good.
I know. So tell
us
about what
Fortnite,
you've been playing.
And then,
yeah, exactly.
And then it's
it doesn't matter. You're going to be playing the Yakuza this weekend, so you might as well stop now.
No, that's true. I'm not going to be playing any Yakuza this weekend.
You should just hold where you're at.
Unless you guys aren't around, then I'll play Yakuza. And then when you get online, I'll jump back into Monster Hunter. I've been trying to clean up my backlog. I platinumed two games, actually, in back-to-back days this week. Finished The Mummy. That game was really, really good. I understand, Ben, the cycle you got into, because I didn't know that after you power up your guy, you still have to kill your powered-up guy. So one of my final trophies was going for you have to kill yourself or whatever, and then defeat your dead self. He rocket launched the shit out of me. I had like four of myself fighting
he keeps the weapons that you had on you. So if you had C4s and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I couldn't defeat it. It was a vicious
I understand.
Cycle I got in. The map was trying to kill me, and I was trying to kill myself. So
I get it. I did it outside a save point. That trophy took me 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I had like four
that's
or five. I seriously thought I got to the point where I was one. That was two trophies away. I was that, and then doing the 100% of all items, which I did not know you had to beat the game a third time. I thought once you collected 100% of items, it just counts it. But no, when you get 100% of map or items, I should have done that in one ending. But whatever. Anyway, that's besides the point. I thought I seriously locked myself out of the platinum. I was so angry. I was like, how am I fucking supposed to defeat myself? Now I understand how angry you were. And you weren't even at the end of the game.
No.
So, and you probably weren't outside a save point either. And I see how easy it is to die.
I was
see how
one
much of a
screen away from
is.
A save point. But
yeah,
that's one too many where I was.
It's... Yeah, I was in a water part, so I kept getting fish that were attacking me while I was trying
fuck
to kill
those
my...
fish.
fish are like the most overpowered enemy in the game.
Yeah, those things are incredibly annoying.
In any case, Really great game. Again, I encourage you both, even if you're only going to play it for the soundtrack, just try La Mulana, because if you think that game plays well and play, like, if you think The Mummy is good and has a great soundtrack, La Mulana is that times 100. It's just, it's so, so good.
So it's almost as good as Axiom Verge, is what you're saying.
I can guarantee it's better than Axiom Verge, and I haven't played Axiom Verge. La Mulana is one of the best Metroid. La Mulana is my second favorite.
That is a bold statement. I've never tried something, but I know something's better than it. Come on, man.
Who put their number two movie of the year as Star Wars before seeing it?
Ooh, snap.
I don't remember. Who was that?
Checkmate. Checkmate. All right. I'm going to continue my point anyway.
Didn't we?
No, La Mulana. I think you did. I think that was you, Ben. No, La Mulana is my second favorite Metroidvania next to Super Metroid. But, yeah, no, this was great. It was really, really fun. And then the other platinum I got was that fucking Japanese... First of all, Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness. Great Japanese novel if you're into that shit. A lot of cool endings, a lot of weird twists, a lot of just weird shit in general. Problem is, that game has a mini game in it, and it's a 2048 puzzle game. I don't know if you know a 2048 game where you have to put like two and two together and then four and four, and then you have to match like numbers to create a higher number.
I was addicted to one of those for like a week.
That took me long. Those three trophies for that puzzle game took me longer than the rest of the game did. Like that shouldn't have been. It had no connection to the story. What it would just piss me the fuck off. But I did finish it because I was like one trophy away. I'm like, I'm not gonna let this happen. So I got rid of it and got it done. Great game though. If you like Japanese visual novels and a lot of weird shit, I'm close to being done with Ghost Recon. I see what you're saying about the double endings from last week. I'm in the last area, so. I guess next week we can talk about the ending because I'll hopefully have it done by then. But I do agree with both of you before finishing it that it is really good. It was definitely one of the more underrated games of last year, and I wish I had played it. Well, based on what Front said, I'm glad we didn't play it sooner, but still.
I think we got into it at the perfect time.
Yeah, yeah. Yakuza 0 is still incredible. Again, there's so little I can say about the story without ruining anything. I am at a point where... the story's really taking a turn where worlds may begin to converge, which could be very, very interesting. But I will say, I played Yakuza this weekend, and I played for 10 hours just this weekend. And for those 10 hours, I was like, I'm going to do some story. For 10 straight hours, I ran the cabaret club. That shit is the best thing in that game. Fucking amazing. One of the best mini games I've ever played in a video game ever. That cabaret club, man, I'm one club away from taking down the entire fucking city. I'm so good right now. Everybody loves me. I've got a million fans. It's so much fun.
Why even go with the story? I mean, it sounds like you're set for life at this point.
It's like The Witcher, where some of the side stuff is better than the story. Although, with the turn the story just made, now I'm, like, really, really enthralled. But I was telling myself all weekend, I'm like, I gotta do a story mission. I kept finding myself like, oh, wait, this guy wants to, like, challenge my club to see who makes more money? Fuck yeah, let's go. Like, it was really, really bad, but it was also really great at the same time, so... Yakuza 0, I can't recommend that game enough. I'm so excited to start Kiwami. But, yeah, I'm like 45 hours in. I'm in chapter 10, so I'm like a little more than halfway. But I've been doing side stuff mostly up until this point. I'll start mainlining story once I run out of side missions to do. But, yeah, that game probably would have been number two behind Nier. It probably would have overtaken Persona as my number two game of the year.
Damn.
It's just so good. It's so, so, so good. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Ben,
what about you?
So, I guess kind of like your thing with the running the cabaret club, I kind of get into that mode when I'm playing Madden, because most of the time I'm not focused on, like, winning games or stuff. I'm focused on... free agency and the draft and like reshaping my team every other year. So I can kind of see how you get distracted with that stuff. Cause that's what I play a lot this weekend. I played a lot of Madden cause I'm in that in between phase right before the next big game. I don't want to like jump into anything that I can't finish. So this week was a lot of Madden, a lot of Fortnite. I got my first two victory royales this past week, so that felt great.
Yeah.
And then I booted up River City Ransom Underground for the first time since it like came out. I just like grinded a lot just to kind of get back into the feel of it, the controls and everything, and I realized that once you get the combos down for whatever character you're playing as, because everyone's got a different combo, you live longer. And then the longer you live, the more you can buy food to increase your attributes, and the easier fights get. So something as simple as that everyone should know, just learning now in this stupid game.
So but getting good at the game makes the game last longer?
Yeah, it's a little crazy, isn't it, how that works? Huh. Just wow. A simple notion of trying makes a big difference. but, I mean, it's River City Ransom. It's ridiculous fighting nonsense, but I love it so much. And I'll continue to go through that over the next few months, I think. I'm able to run it on my laptop, so having it like right in front of me at all times when I'm just sitting on the couch watching whatever is nice. So I'll have fun with that. But that's it. I mean, like I said, I'm in that lull right before we hit Monster Hunter, and then I'll only have Monster Hunter to talk about. So
yeah, you guys finished up all your stuff a lot earlier than I did, because I was really
Mass
sick.
Mass Effect that I haven't even started. And now
yeah, but
I
that's
feel,
but that's a
late.
Game that you put
I
in
a
your,
lot of days
well,
off,
yeah,
too.
But you didn't buy that anticipating you were going to play that before Monster Hunter, did you?
I mean, I bought it like right after Christmas.
It's like
so
your pocket
I
game.
Thought it was going to be like one. It was basically once I finished Tekken, I was going to start it, and I decided to start
Bloodborne. I mean, you
could start
it. There's no...
Yeah, I probably won't start it
well,
until
Bloodborne's
like
not
this weekend.
So. I'm on the final boss. Bloodborne DLC, besides how hard I've probably spent a lot more time than 10 hours on it, but I would just say, like, getting through the DLC is, like, 10-ish hours. You're going to spend a lot more time than that because of the time on each boss, but the areas are really not that big. It's really concentrated on boss stuff. So, I mean, you can start Mass Effect. It's not...
Well, I'm sure... Well, at least this weekend, I'm going to be all... Probably
well, this
Monster
weekend we're
all
going
to
be playing
so.
Monster Hunter. Yeah, so
it'll
I mean that's
be next week or sometime.
I did forget. To, I mean, it's. I guess it's important for the podcast. I did get a pro this weekend, so
and?
Now. Huh? Oh,
and?
Well, a new TV too.
Yeah.
Well, I was over. The new TV was the more important thing. I needed. I haven't bought a TV in like 4 or 5 years, so whenever I buy a TV, I usually future proof and get shit that I don't need. So it's the exact same thing I did this time, and fuck, this thing's gorgeous. To Ben's point, when he got a pro, games like, well, for me, ones that I was playing seriously that I noticed the biggest difference in, Bloodborne, Ghost Recon, the draw distance in Ghost Recon.
Oh, isn't it ridiculous?
It's fucking crazy.
Get up
and
in a helicopter and you just like you freak out because you can just see for miles.
I never thought jumping from a regular to a pro would be that big of a difference. I'm glad I've been playing even Yakuza. Like, it's just, first of all, the load times on every game I play are almost instantaneous now. It's unbelievable how fast this thing is.
And GTA still takes forever to boot up.
Well, yeah, I installed that. I was like, well, this hasn't fucking changed. But, like Yakuza is the best example because I play it so much. Say I come out of, like, a major story sequence. You played it, Mike. It's like 5-7 second, you know, loading scene, right? That blue loading screen. It's like 1 second, if that, with a pro. Bloodborne is almost instantaneous. Bloodborne looks oh my god, does Bloodborne look good? But yeah, with Ghost Recon. Yeah, I need to. The Witcher 3, I've heard, was one of the bigger ones that got a patch.
Oh, it is nice.
But,
it is fluid. It is.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Plays very well on a pro.
And I can imagine the draw distance on that's insane, too. Because, like I said, playing Ghost Recon just on a regular PS4, the draw distance is fantastic. But to have it make that much of a difference on a pro is pretty mind-blowing. So... I'm definitely excited to see. I mean, the main reason I got a pro is for Monster Hunter. So, and going forward, obviously. But that's the game that really convinced me to. I have enough games now where I need it. And it goes with the TV, so it works well in combo. But I'm happy I made the jump. And if, Mike, there is going to be that time where you're kind of thinking about doing it, it is worth it. It really. It makes a big enough difference that it's very much worth it.
I think the big difference for me is about that Xbox, you know, one for the Blu-ray player. And I just popped on Blade Runner this weekend. I picked up the 4K Blu-ray, and seriously, it was like watching it in a theater. Just it's just that crisp and clean and everything. All the colors pop.
That's something I'm upset the Pro doesn't have.
So yeah, like, I don't
get
that.
Shouldn't the Pro have... Yet I can buy Blade Runner in 4K through the Sony store and watch it on my Pro in 4K.
That's right.
But I can't buy a 4... Which I'm going to do, by the way. I'm going to end up buying Blade Runner digitally so I can watch it in the best quality I can. I was going to just buy it with the TV and the
I wonder how much storage it's going to take on your PS4.
You know what? I haven't even looked into it. It's probably the size of a big game. It's probably... You know what?
40 games.
Good question. Well, that's my assumption. I'm going to look it up, though. I don't know how big a Blu-ray or how big a 4K... Yeah, I never thought of that either. I mean, I've got the storage to spare. But it's weird that they didn't put that in there. It's strange. But I agree. The 4K definitely makes... the biggest difference in the world. I watched it, actually. That was the first movie I watched. I got that off Amazon in 4K and watched that. That was my first 4K movie.
Oh, nice.
Even watching that again, oh, it's so good. Even watching it a second time, I saw it in the theater. Like you said about Blade Runner, although it's like watching it in the theater. It's just the sound, the picture quality. Sometimes the picture quality is even better because it's just like crisper than a big giant screen. It's just like a nice... 4K screen in front of you. It was great. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And that movie is fucking terrifying.
And just to compare, like, you know, you and I both watched, you know, Twin Peaks when it was on TV, and you know the offering it had for that. Having it on Blu-ray and watching it on this TV, it's night and day. Like how much cleaner and you know it's David Lynch, so it's really dark in some scenes. So. Just having that contrast with the quality, I am so happy with my purchase and upgrades that usually I don't notice these differences, but this is one of those times where it really jumps out at me.
I would say going from HD to 4K is the equivalent of going from standard def to HD. It made that big of a difference to me.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Get on it,
damn
Mike.
It, I know. We'll see. We'll see.
Well,
I'll
just bought
a
TV. Is it
4K?
Yeah,
I bought a TV. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Mike,
no,
you bought Missy a TV. You need
to
get
yourself
a TV.
The reason I bought a TV is because if you had seen, I don't know if you guys looked at the ad in Best Buy this past week, but like all their 4K TVs, there were, and some of these deals were just insane to pass out, which is the reason I did it.
I'll keep an eye out come the holidays and, you know, might dive in. We'll see. I mean, it's definitely on my mind, but yeah, not anytime soon, unfortunately. For now, we shall move on to the news. Nintendo announced a thing. Nintendo Labo. It's a bunch of cardboard that you craft into various things, such as a fishing rod, a piano, or a little motorbike or a grasshopper, and combining that with the Switch Joy-Cons, which they now call this combination Toy-Cons, you can play games. There will be two SKUs coming out on April 20th of this year. The Variety Kit, which includes a house, RC cars, fishing rod, motorbike, and piano. That will be $69.99. Also comes with a game, of course. This is how you interact with all these things. And there will be a robot kit, which is $79.99 and comes with a, I would not, maybe not say full robot suit, but it is a more, very more complex piece of cardboard gear compared to the rest.
Did you hear that they walked back that statement today?
About
the free cardboard gear, that you better not ruin the first set we give you because the second set ain't free.
Okay. Well, I did believe they said they were going to put out, like, the schematics. So if you were someone with a bunch, you know, maybe with a 3D printer.
Yeah, if you want to, if you have a 3D printer or a $10,000. Yeah,
shit.
Exactly.
I mean, that's good.
I mean, I know they're not required to play the game, but I know that's the gimmick of what's going on.
Right.
So it still.
I mean, not to mention, this is very obviously marketed towards children. So. You know,
I think
it's a fun
family thing.
Dude,
I mean,
if they had this
like
when we were
Legos.
Kids.
Oh, yeah.
If they had this when we were kids, it would be fucking I feel so happy for all the kids.
All fucking
right
over
now.
The shit.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. But yeah, as an adult, this is probably not going to be. You know, if I can get it clearanced out at $30, I might get the variety kit just to see what it's all about out of pure curiosity. But this ain't going to be something I'm going to be. Day one pre-ordering and getting, but I will be, I'll be awaiting all of the funny YouTube videos of adults trying to do this stuff and failing miserably at all of it.
I am looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, there'll be lots of good YouTube fails ahead, but, it's a cool thing. I mean, good on Nintendo for just throwing some random shit out here. I mean, with how successful the Switch is, even if this falls on its face, they're not going to be hurting, in any way, shape, or form.
I saw the one, you know, the video they put out, you know, the guy's racing the car, right? And he's hitting the accelerator with his foot. And the Joy-Con is, like, right there next to his foot. I got nervous.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Like, I'm sorry, but you're going to get some insane kid who can't control himself. He's going to be jamming down on that thing like it's a real car.
Yeah. Putting the lead
out. You are going to be... And you know what? This could be a brilliant move by Nintendo to push... peripheral sales. I don't know. Extra joystick for you, sir. You're buying the cardboard package. You're probably going to break something. Here, have an extra.
Yeah. Oh, you were playing the robot thing with the Joy-Con in your hand, and you chucked it into your TV like a Wiimote. Here,
I wonder if Best Buy is offering protection plans on these or something. They're probably like declining all protection plans on these.
Yeah, like no, you're gonna break all this, so yeah, you're gonna want to buy this. So yeah, that'll be out April 20th. Moving on, next, Microsoft has thrown a huge incentive into their Game Pass program, starting on March 20th, coinciding with the release of Sea of Thieves.
All new
going forward from there, all Microsoft Studios games will be available on Xbox Game Pass day and date with their release. So, State of Decay 2, Crackdown 3, you know, the next Halo and Forza games. The day they come out in stores, you can also get them on their Xbox Game Pass service, which is currently $9.99 a month. So, man, that's ballsy. I mean, you're going to be sacrificing a lot of game sales if I can just pay $10 and play the game on your subscription service.
But you're also paying for gold.
Yes, that is true. You have to be a gold member to even get this service, but either way, I mean...
Even that's, what, $12 a month or something?
Yeah,
I don't even know anymore.
You get $60 a year, so...
Is this treated like PS Now, where you're streaming the game from
their service?
No, you
download the games on Xbox Game Pass.
Wow! Okay.
And really if you're a Game Pass member, if you decide to buy a game that's available on Game Pass, you get a 20% off discount. Buying it through the digital store.
Damn.
So for $9.99, you're renting the game? You're not...
Yes. Netflix, but you download the games instead of streaming them.
And you can have one game downloaded at a time.
No, you can download as many games as your hard drive can fit. I mean, it's not like a one-out thing. It's just it's an entire library of games.
This is a fucking brilliant marketing.
Sorry, guys.
I
might be jumping over to the Xbox One now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
sure you are.
I mean, Ben, for $9.99 a month, well, you don't have gold because there's no point in you having gold. But if we all had Xboxes and we had gold, this service would be like 100%. But all those games
that
are coming, like, that, it's so worth it. That's the brilliant marketing move on their part.
I mean, I know PS Now has started to roll out PS4 games, but I mean that really comes down to I didn't ever
you
have
can wait
problem
in a line for playing PS.
See,
Now
yeah, that was
games,
the thing that people complain a lot about streaming. I did the 1 week trial, and during that time, I had zero problems with streaming. But at the same time, I wasn't trying any games that required some really fast input. Like, you know, they put a Call of Duty game on there. Yeah, I'm not going to be streaming that for sure. And the price, too. I mean, the PS Now is twice the cost. It is $20 a month for PS Now, so the incentive is not there.
If anything, yeah, maybe this will make PS Now reduce their price.
That would be nice, but with Sony, you know, so far ahead on sales, they don't need to. So, sadly, this probably won't affect PS Now, even though it should, because honestly, yeah, they need to A, cut the price, and B, allow you to download those games.
I mean,
just so you
don't
have to stream them.
I picked up the Xbox One S for, $170 over the holidays, and it can run all this stuff. So I don't see where this is a good time for Microsoft to catch up. Sony should keep an eye on that. I mean, it's...
You picked it up purely for the Blu-ray player, though, right? You didn't pick it up because you wanted an Xbox.
Purely for a Blu-ray player. But now they're offering things that kind of make sense.
Which was the selling point of the PS3 originally, because Blu-ray players were insanely expensive. So if you bought a PS3, you also got a Blu-ray player and a console.
Yeah. Now you don't even get a top-notch Blu-ray player with your PlayStation. What the hell?
Ridiculous. Speaking of PlayStation, God of War finally has a release date. April 20th. Man, April 20th is a very popular day for releases. Yeah, another thing. Nintendo Labo, Sea of Thieves. I don't know.
Sure.
A lot of people have been going
to
Fridays.
I'm going to assume it is. It's
a
Tuesday if it's a Friday, it's a stoner's best friend. I don't know.
We have
look.
It
is a Friday.
War, Nintendo Labo.
Oh, nice. All right. Dude, heads up to offices everywhere. Yeah. Stoners will not be coming in that day.
A lot of people calling in that day.
So Friday, April 20th, we'll get you Nintendo Labo, Sea of Thieves, and now also God of War. They also announced a bunch of collector's editions that range anywhere from from $70 to $150, depending on what type of goodies you want with your game. Pre-order any edition of the game at any retailer. We'll get you some, bonus goodies, these legendary skins that will give you some XP gains and boosts of that nature. But, long and short of it is God of War finally has a release date. A lot of people assumed it was going to be first quarter, or at least around the first quarter,
first half of the year. Yeah.
But, hey, that's the first
big
Sony
game
of the year.
Are you guys both going to be playing God of War 4? Or God of War?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're not experienced with the series, right, Mike?
I played, an hour... I played a little bit of the PSP, one of those, and I played a little bit of Remastered.
Three?
Yeah, I own three Remastered. I played for an hour, and I wasn't in the mood.
You should just, before it comes out, you should just run through three, just to get yourself back in that mood of, getting that killing style.
I don't think they're
going to
be the same games.
No, they're not.
They're going to be totally different.
They're not, but I think it's a good idea for him to get back in that, Kratos mode of, the character and stuff like that.
Either way. I mean, yeah.
Or references
I'll be
to the old
out.
Games. I don't know.
I mean, unless something... I'd say the only thing that would stop me from playing this is if, Red Dead came out the week before or after. But...
It's not going to.
Exactly. So...
But we already know it's
right
coming
now
out.
Is
I already
just,
called it.
Well, the rumor right... Well, you called it and you were wrong based on what... Well... Based on what they're saying.
I'm sorry. What? I was wrong how?
According
on some rumor?
Well, it's not a rumor. It was technically
this rumor,
a date posted.
Our next story, according to Amazon Mexico, has slated Red Dead Redemption 2's release for July 12th of 2018. Now we know how any website on the world could put up a release date of any kind, and
it's true.
Most of the time, these are wrong. You know,
so
maybe they
what
get
was the
Amazon
last time
ballpark.
You guys picked up a game on a Thursday? That's
well,
right.
Maybe Thursday? Right.
You've
well,
never picked up a
happening.
Game on a Thursday.
Well, it might be Mexico.
Maybe
so
Mexico releases games on Thursday.
Maybe.
We don't know these things.
That's true. Also, so Amazon does have a good reputation of leaking release dates.
That doesn't sound like it's a good thing.
I'm not saying
they have
it's a good
bad
thing.
Reputation
they,
for leaking
they
things.
They tend to be
think,
pretty accurate with their release dates. That's my point.
Good for us, because we get to learn all this stuff. Bad for them for being a bunch of blabbermouths.
It probably won't be on that Thursday. I'm hoping. I'm hoping you had it right, where it was like what May 26th.
I would say May. I would put my
yeah
money on a May release.
May 20 something.
Yeah, end of May.
If it's not there May, it's going to be like September or October.
May 22nd or
they
25th.
Wouldn't delay it by that much. Not with how it, much
it's
how,
happened before.
How much touting?
Never,
yeah, but with how much touting they're doing of like the game's ready. We're let's go.
Single one.
After
it would
that,
have to be a pretty
after that GTA
major
Online
yeah.
little mini thing.
I don't think they would make the same mistake.
I think they're good to go. They better be.
Hopefully,
I hope they are.
I hope so.
I want it.
Yeah, like
I want this now.
Yeah. Same.
And we know
I'm
nothing
ready.
About
ready
the story.
For
which is even
that's
better.
Fine. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's how they roll with all their games. Remember GTA 5, all you knew that there was three characters. And that was
I remember
that.
People
like,
lost their shit
didn't
over
that. About that story.
Didn't they release like some story trailer like
it was like
week
a,
before the game
you had like
came
a one,
out or something
Yeah, you had
like
a
that.
1 minute trailer for like each character. And it's still
right.
Just,
okay, so they'll probably do that some.
You get
sort
a taste. They
style
they don't show
Red
their
Dead.
Hand at
but
all.
We know nothing about the story. Like, we don't know anything.
We know it's a prequel. That's for sure. We know that.
Well, we know it take. Do we know that for sure? Have they
I'd
confirmed
say
that?
I'm pretty sure they confirmed that. That is
okay.
A,
but what about when they were in space shooting all those lasers and stuff?
Oh yeah, that was the secret ending.
Yeah.
And our final news story of the week. Something we don't like talking about, but seems to be everywhere. Battle Crates are joining the Ghost Recon Wildlands universe. If you're not familiar with Battle Crates...
It's Ubisoft. It was bound to happen eventually.
Battle Crates are designed to offer you an additional and accessible way to complete your cosmetic customization experience for both the campaign and Ghost War modes. This is something that will be coming with their Extended Ops update that is coming by the end of this month on all platforms. Everyone will be gifted a Spec Ops crate, which are crates for the campaign mode, and a Ghost War crate, which are crates for the multiplayer mode. And you can purchase them through their Ubisoft in-game store for 400 store credits, which means these will not be attainable other than paying real-world money to get them. They did say that specifically the multiplayer crates will be 100% cosmetic, whether it be through weapons that are just reskinned or camos, you know, for the character, costumes for the character. The campaign ones will offer additional weapons and vehicles as well, but now, since, you know, it's campaign, it doesn't really affect any
yeah,
sort
but
of
you
competitive
know-
gameplay.
You don't hate the fact that they're putting paid content into our single player game.
I mean,
game
well, technically,
already
it's already in the game.
For.
If you go look in that Ubisoft store, there is a bunch of guns and stuff that is locked behind a paywall that
that's
you
true.
Can only
that's
buy.
True.
I
so,
forget
that's
about
true.
That.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm used to it in the game. It kind of sucks when you look at like the weapon list and there's 20 guns that are just like you're
I just don't like when they
straight
do
up
this.
Buy this. I mean,
it's this, they did the same thing in Origins, which was disappointing. Where like. Technically, you could get like a better weapon from first of all, those loot crates were really easy to obtain and they were free, so that was a different situation. But I don't like when they add loot crates into single player games.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's disappointing,
don't understand.
For sure. But if they're gonna do it, like, this is one of the less egregious ways, since A, the multiplayer ones are all cosmetic and don't, you know, there's no pay to win. Yeah, it sucks that there is no in-game way of earning them. But it's, you know, it's not good, but it's one of the less bad ways to do it. They also did say that there will be absolutely no duplicates in this system. You will only get items that you have not already owned. So
that's
a
nice.
Big plus on that. and yeah, we'll be honest.
See, Rainbow Six, they do have a way of detecting what you have. It's the same fucking company. Make it happen.
Everyone
stop giving me duplicates in my alpha packs.
Get rid of duplicates.
Yeah. Seriously. Especially when you're, you know, games like Overwatch and you have like 1,000 items in your pool. I don't need to.
Oh, I mean, that's how they make their money. Are you kidding me? Like, Overwatch would never take that away.
Because then I think they just rolled out a whole bunch of new gear for Overwatch.
$5 per. Oh, you're talking about the Epic skin. Oh, yeah. You're talking about the Epic skins. Yeah, they. Well, last week we talked about the $5 per team, and there's like 36 teams, and yeah, that's insane. No, they rolled out new Epic skins this
week,
too.
The loot boxes are what drives the money in that game, so of course they're going to be set to fuck you over.
But you know what? It's all cosmetic, so if people want to pay for this shit, like you said, Mike, it's at least less egregious when it's cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that they're putting single-player content, like the guns and stuff, that's a little upsetting. Yeah. I'd be curious to know how big of a player base there is for the Ghost War.
I mean, I played it like right when it launched, so I obviously have no problem.
What's it like? Is it SOCOM
like? It plays exactly like. I mean, it plays. It just imagine playing the single player, but in a not confined space because the maps are pretty large.
Yeah, I was gonna say how big is.
Yeah, they section off decent chunks of the map, and it's like I think 4v4. Yeah, it's
4v4. Can you use vehicles and all that shit?
On the maps I played, no. Like, they were small enough to where vehicles would not have worked. So,
it
unless
still
they
seems
start
fun.
Rolling in more maps. But, yeah, it was a fun mode. Yeah, it was a good time, especially for being free. I mean, and it had, like, a class system similar to, like, Siege, where it had, like, different character types, and they each had different loadouts according to them. And you would, and those you could unlock all in-game. Like, you were locked out based on level, so as you leveled up, you unlocked more of the loadout types. It wasn't, like, a currency thing where you had to buy them. But it was a fun mode, so, and I believe they just announced an extraction mode, which is straight out of Rainbow Six, where it's an attacking team and a defending team, and the attacking team has to go into the building and extract a hostage. So they're just straight up jacking Rainbow Six mode.
Well, I mean, it's the same game, so.
Yeah.
Or it's the same company, so why?
Yeah.
I mean,
straight up dropping Rainbow Six modes.
I saw a picture that they have so many customizable pieces that you can essentially make certain operators from Rainbow Six in Siege.
I'm not surprised.
Or in
Wildlands.
Wildlands. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to look up a guide for this because I want to make Valkyrie or Ashe, but I don't know if I can.
I mean, it seems like a lot of the loadouts, because, yeah, if you look in that paid store, there's a ton of stuff, and a lot of it is straight-up branded, like, Rainbow Six Siege gear. So I'm sure you can just straight-up buy
operator gear. I have a Rainbow Six
Siege
backpack in-game that I got just for playing Rainbow Six, so, yeah.
Still play Wildlands. Still haven't played that game. Very good. I believe it's like, I think it's on sale at Best Buy this week too. So definitely pick it up.
It is. Time. It's 20 bucks.
I think it's
at
20
so
again.
It's 15.
So.
Damn. Hop on
that. That game's going to be on sale for a while. I mean, 20 will soon be its price because that's been
make
out
it your
since
pocket
what,
game.
March, February.
Mm-hmm. It launched March of last year, I believe.
Yeah. Great game though.
Oh yeah, definitely worth your time. But that is going to do it for the news, which will move us into our final segment of the show, our top five. In the celebration of Monster Hunter World, we picked our
five
monsters / enemies in video games, with one caveat was no bosses.
Can I go first? Because I'm going to do this under protest.
Okay, fine.
I wasn't there when this conversation
happened. We're not going to do bosses.
Fair? No. That's fair. There is an enemy on my list that is, you guys are going to consider him a mini boss, but there are multiple versions of him, and he's all over the place.
We'll see.
So
we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So number five. So these are just the fucking regular enemies, best regular enemies from games.
Mm-hmm.
I put this together very quickly.
All
right.
We all did.
Number five are Goombas. Number five are Goombas from Mario.
Well, somebody went on the internet and found their
iconic
list.
Iconic. fuck you. That was the only one I actually did get from the internet. The rest of them did not come from the internet. But I was like, oh, Goombas. I also thought about the Mario movie. Goombas were hilarious in that movie because they weren't Goombas. They were like fucking, they were creepy. They were like dinosaurs.
Like shrunken head monsters.
That was such a weird ass movie. So much fun. Number four is are the Cactar enemies from...
Hell yeah, Cactars.
I guess you could say from any Final Fantasy... Yeah, Cactars. Mm-hmm. From any Final Fantasy game. Specifically, they stick out in 8 for me, because there was a point in 8 that if you wanted, like, a Cactar card, you had to grind them in the desert, and they were a bitch, and they ran away, and they could do 1,000 needles and kill you instantly, and they're a really annoying enemy, and they seem to be super overpowered no matter where you fight them in whatever Final Fantasy game you fight them in. Number 3 are the Metroids, like the little baby Metroids, just the Metroids in general from the Metroid games. That's an enemy, right?
Yep.
It's not. That's a regular enemy. You do fight Mother Brain, or you do fight big Metroids, but Metroids are, yeah, regular enemies as well. Okay, so here's where you're going to have the problem. Number 2 are Big Daddies from BioShock.
Those aren't bosses.
They are not mini bosses. No, they're not.
That totally
they're
counts.
Not. No, they're not. They're all over BioShock 2 as regular enemies. In BioShock 1, sure, they're mini bosses. Not in BioShock 2. So if you're going to pin me down to a specific game, I'll say Big Daddies from BioShock 2.
No, we're all in agreement. That is not a
boss.
Those are not bosses.
Oh, I thought you just said they are.
Oh, no, I was agreeing that they weren't.
Oh, you were agreeing. Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay, so yeah, Big Daddies from 2. Number 1 are Hollows from Dark Souls, because they can appear in almost any form. You never know how strong they're going to be.
Good choice.
Because you can hit them and kill them instantly, or you can hit them and do no damage, and then they can turn around and hit you once and you're dead. So the randomness of Hollows, I think, is why they're my number 1, just because they come in so many forms, and you never know where you're going to get screwed over.
So you're like, swing at one and hit it, and you don't see any damage. You don't just turn and run for your life?
I mean, you can, unless they turn around and they're super strong and do a million damage to you, or get gank squad from behind.
Don't get hit.
Okay, you go play Dark Souls and just run away. Yeah. Just run
just
away.
Just walk away. It's fine.
I'm a Dark Souls professional here. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Until the 5 other enemies from behind you jump out, and then you see the note on the ground, beware of ambush. Mm-hmm. So it's not that easy.
Oh, that's on you then, if you're not checking signs on the
I'm
ground
sorry.
Before you go in there.
Yes, I want to check every little sign so that I can give the enemies time to attack me. Just go, fuck you. You don't play Dark Souls.
I know enough about Dark
5
Souls.
5-1. But you do, to stop. You made the smart choice and didn't get invested and don't hate your life. 5-1, Goombas, Cactar, Metroids, Big Daddies, and Hollows.
All right. I will go next. First, I have to do a shout-out, basically, to just about every enemy in Earthbound, because honestly, you could probably make like a top 20 of the best Earthbound enemies, because they're all great. I'm just going to quickly read off some of the enemies in Earthbound that you will come across. Annoying old party man. New age retro hippie. Salvador Dali's clock. And extra cranky lady. That was just a sample. If you have some spare time, you should definitely look up the enemies in Earthbound, because they're all hilariously named. Oh, I forgot one. Big pile of puke. That's another one. Yeah, these are all common enemies, not bosses. Some of the boss names are even funnier than that, but yeah. Another reason why that game's incredible. But anyways, moving on. Number 5, Big Daddy from the BioShock series. Jake kind of summed up all the reasons why.
You mean number 4?
No, wait.
That was your shout-out?
Those were all shout-outs.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yes. Jake hit all the reasons why. Especially, like, I still remember the first time you come across one. And it feels like a boss fight because of how friggin' tough those things are. And then, of course, obviously, in 2, when you get to, like, play as one, that's a cool twist.
Yeah, 2 is an underrated BioShock game. People hate on it a lot, but
yes,
I think the story in two was really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't have any problems with 2.
Yeah, number 4 are the Black Knights from Dark Souls, specifically the ones from the first game, because that was some of the most memorable fights. I remember the first one fighting at, like, the top of a castle tower, and I remember it kicking my ass, like, 100 times over.
That has the one that has the potential
staircase.
To drop the sword,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, drops the
yeah.
sword, yeah. It was a combination
That's the one
of,
in the speed runs where, like, people reset.
I want your sword, but I also want to kick your ass because you're so tough, and I remember getting that sword was, like, one of my, like, most proud moments, especially since you need that to, like, 100% the game. You have to get his sword. But, yeah, that battle always sucks, and you run across him multiple times throughout the game, but that first one's always the most memorable.
I'm so scared and interested to see how bad or good I am when Dark Souls 1 Remastered comes out. Like, I remember that game being so hard, but again, it was my first Dark Souls game.
Right.
So I wonder if I'm just going to breeze through it now.
I mean, I'm sure we're like riding we'll be a bike. Better at it now.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I remember enough of that game to get by.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think
I'm
going to
come across
lost.
Your first enemy, and your timing is going to be back immediately.
Oh, I'm going to get destroyed in that game, I promise
you. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Number three, like Jake also had, is the Cactuar from the Final Fantasy series.
Fuck yeah.
These guys suck all the time because that 10,000 needles move is total bullshit. And anytime you think you're about to win the battle, it's like, oh, here we go. I'm going to throw this move out. Oh, look at that. You're dead. Sorry. Max damage. You're done.
They also seem to have an undefined amount of health. Like,
yeah. It's like sometimes it feels
you can
like
die
they
in
have
one
no
hit,
health.
Or it takes forever.
Or yeah, you're fighting one for 20 minutes. Like, yeah, they make no sense. And they look cool. It's just a cool looking enemy. They're absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. No matter what game they're in, they always look so out of place. But they manage to work in that universe. So yeah.
I like the ones in 9 that are like little anime Cactuars.
Yeah, the ones in 13
are like
also really
2D
good.
Ones.
Those were very, very well designed in 13. But yeah, 9.
I tell you, the ones in
11
suck just as much as the ones you played in any other game.
See? Not surprised.
Were they considered bosses in those MMO games? Because they should have been.
There's a lot of the different races in the game had their own, like, notorious monsters where they were tough ones. But one that always stuck out to me was the Rapido Cactuar in Altepa Desert. And you could just be partying, killing spiders and beetles, and then out of nowhere, this little fucking Cactuar would just zip through your party at like 8x speed, and he was a bitch to catch because he dropped some, you know, good loot, but you got to catch him first. So it was always funny. You know, you're just sitting there partying, and I don't know, where you just see this little Cactuar just come zipping through at light speed, and he has a little dust cloud kicking up behind him. It was hilarious.
Yeah, they were super cute.
See? Guys are motherfuckers no matter what Final Fantasy game you play. Number two is the Lakitu from the Super Mario kind of world universe.
Ooh.
But specifically the ones from the earlier Super Mario games, because finally jumping on top of those sons of bitches and then getting to be able to steal their cloud and just like fly through levels is always a great
feeling.
We've
talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember for the life of me what top five we did. Where I brought him up. And
oh,
up
I think it was
in one of your
I think it was vehicles,
yes.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it vehicles?
Yes!
And we counted this as
the
a
cloud.
Vehicle.
Yeah, the cloud. The Lakitu cloud. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, they're also not only great vehicles, and that's a reason why they're a great enemy, because they're also a great vehicle once you defeat them. But yes, Lakitu is my number two.
They're also represented in a lot of Mario games, because Mario Kart
can't
be possible without Lakitus.
Yeah. Countdown. Guy holding the countdown signs.
And they pull you out when you fall off the side.
Oh, yes.
It's very helpful.
They're very...
It's very helpful, yeah. As he slowly puts you down as everybody else passes you.
Also, a friendly person in the Odyssey world. They are not enemies. They are people you can just go up and talk to.
Aww.
Very nice.
Really?
Yes.
Can you use the cloud in
Odyssey? Yes. I mean, you can possess them, but you can't use the cloud. You just kind of float around and you can fish.
That's cool, though, that they're regular dudes.
Yeah, they're just regular old people in Odyssey. And then my number one is Havel the Rock from the Dark Souls franchise, since he makes
good number one.
A few appearances. But, man, you want to talk
Isn't
about
he in
like,
all of them?
I know he's in the first one. I know his gear.
He's in 2 and 3.
His gear's in all three of them.
He's in 3. You fight him in the Dragon World in 3.
He might not be in 2. I know his gear's in all of them.
His
he
gear's
might not be
in 2.
Oh,
no. He's in 2. He's one of the bosses in the DLC, in that pyramid, in the first DLC.
Oh, yeah.
He's the gank squad boss.
Yes, that's right. Okay, mm-hmm. So yeah, he does appear in all three games. But yeah, you want to talk about encounters. Like, and that was back, you know, first Dark Souls, just rolling up on enemies, and you're just like, oh, is this guy in this big fat looking dude in all this armor. He shouldn't be too hard to take down. Oh my goodness, he has an entire tree essentially as a weapon, and I'm dead.
He's in that tower the first time you fight him, right? Near the
swamp. Go down. You just go down the bottom of the tower, and he just starts running up at you, and you don't know what you'd expect.
That was such a hard fight,
and yes, a very tough battle because he has a big swing and can at that point of the game probably one hit, if not two, hits you for sure. So it's just a lot of waiting and a lot of waiting for getting in one hit because he has so much health at the time as well. You fight him later in the game. It's kind of a joke.
That's why he's called the Rock.
Yeah, he is the Rock. And then getting that gear, you turn into the tank. You realize why he was so powerful.
You also roll like a tank, too.
Yes. Unless you have his ring. See, that was the key. He had the ring
on. That's true.
So he
Pavel's
didn't have
ring.
He
wasn't true.
Yes, his ring was also what you got for defeating him. And I would say, like, not OP, but it definitely, like, breaks a mechanic of the game when you equip that ring. It makes pretty much you to wear, allow you to wear any armor with little penalty about equip weight.
Especially early
cuts,
on.
Yeah, it cuts your equip weight in half, so you can equip just about any armor you want and still be a very speedy character.
But, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great fight no matter which game, which Dark Souls you fight him in. So my top five, number five, are the Big Daddies from Bioshock. Number four are Black Knights from Dark Souls. Number three are Cactuars from Final Fantasy. Number two are Lakitus from Super Mario. And number one is Havel the Rock from the Dark Souls franchise. Ben, what you got?
All right, so two quick little shout-outs. One to the Nurses of Silent Hill. You sexy, deadly, creepy little bitches. I hate you. And then the Deathclaws from Fallout.
Yes, that almost made my list.
Nothing is funnier than sneaking around thinking you're being sneaky and then getting snuck up on by a Deathclaw and having it just knock you across the screen and killing you in one shot. Yeah, Deathclaws, you know to run for your life in a Deathclaw fight. Number five for me are going to be the Clickers from Last of Us. Man, I like... Last of Us is probably one of the most stressful games I've ever played in my life, and the Clickers were the reason for that. I mean, just the name, Clickers. I mean, just the noise they made, it was stressful enough. But then you couldn't get caught by them because there wasn't much that could bring them down.
Yeah.
So, that's my number five, are those little jerks. Number four is the Metroid from Metroid.
Oh.
You know, once you get all the way down to Mother Brain's level, you have to fight off swarms of these assholes. You got to freeze them, and you got to blow them up with missiles. And, I mean, that's it. And they're everywhere. So screw those guys. They were hard as shit. Number three is the Big Daddy from BioShock series.
Wow, our lists were way similar than I expected them to be.
Yeah, I mean, you got the lumbering protector of the little sister. You know, all in BioShock 2, I mean, all those fights were epic because each one was a little different than the other one. So there wasn't like a surefire way to take down one of these guys. You actually had to like do a little planning and actually use your abilities and even switch out some if you had to. Number two is going to be the Tonberry from Final Fantasy.
Oh,
I know. I almost threw the Cactuar in here, but the Tonberry is sneaky.
They're equally as bad. Tonberry
15,
can kill
they
you.
They are motherfuckers.
Tonberries can kill 15. You a lot faster than Cactuars can because they pull out their stupid knife
and destroy
you.
The
defense.
Chef's knife. Yes, they take a ton of damage, they have a lot of HP, and then when they get to you, just hope they don't get to you, is all I'm saying, because they will fuck your day up. 11 had a running, and it was called was Tonberry Hate. If you killed so many Tonberries over time, it built up. And they had a move that they could do in the middle of a fight, and it would focus on one enemy, like if, you know, your tank is tanking one, and he pulls this move out, depending on the hate the Tonberries had towards him or the whole party, it could kill this person in one move. So there were missions built into the game where you had to go into Tonberry heavy areas where you had to go reset this. You had to go pay money to not be hated by the Tonberries. I thought that was a great addition to that.
It's like your guilt level in Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what it's actually called. Sin. There you go.
The best part, too, is you had to go to get to this guy to pay him so the Tonberries hated you. You had to walk through a bunch of Tonberries who would attack you if they saw you. So it was a challenge. My number two is the Tonberry. My number one is the Marlboro from Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
I would run 99% of the time I saw these things, I would run from them. Because bad breath has to be one of the most wicked moves in a video game ever. Every status effect on you in one move, you might resist some. Most of the times, you're catching most of them. And the Marlboro was the worst. And again, I'm going to base this on 11. You did not come close to these. You didn't EXP off of these. They were simply in the game to make your life hell. There's literally no reason to hunt those down in Final Fantasy 11. You ran from them. They're the worst.
I hated fighting that one in 15. Because, like, hey, I got to get up in this thing's face. Oh, look at that. Bad breath.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that shit and I lost it. I'm like, oh my god, this is it. This is the first time I'm going to wipe and have to start for my last save point. Marlboros. But all right, so my top five are the Clickers from Last of Us, Metroids from Metroid, Big Daddies from Bioshock, Tonberries from Final Fantasy, and the Marlboro from Final Fantasy.
Well, all right. That is going to do it for this week's episode. Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Fett the Assassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on the internet at Just Survive on Twitter and The Just Survive on Twitch. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. We also have a website, NWMPod.com, where you can find all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play Music, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always implore you to leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week, we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
Gonna hunt some monsters!